This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, North Korea is warning the United States of a, quote, super mighty preemptive strike after U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson said the United States was looking at ways to bring pressure to bear on North Korea over its nuclear program. Oklahoma Senator James Lankford, a member of the Senate Intelligence Committee, is here in just a moment. Also, Secretary of State Rex Tillerson is laying down the law for Iran, too, saying that, a quote, an unchecked Iran has the potential to travel the same path as North Korea and take the world along with it, end quote. Our own Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin joins me for that discussion. And a census report shows that more young people ages 18 to 34 are living at home with their parents than are married living with a spouse. What could this development mean economically and culturally to our country? Terry Jeffrey, editor-in-chief of CNS News, has the answer to that question. The website, TonyPerkins.com, you can find out more about today's program, the topics we're covering, and here's a bonus. Information there, follow the link for our May 24th through the 26th Watchman on the Wall Pastors Briefing. Pastors, great opportunity for you to come to Washington, D.C. This is for pastors only. Maybe you might want to encourage your pastor to attend. Dr. Tony Evans will be there. We'll have a number of members of Congress that will be there as well, and the whole lineup. General Boykin will be there. I will be there. And hopefully you'll be there. Anyway, to find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. Our growing network of pastors across the nation, over 13,000 Watchman pastors across this country, working together to be watchmen on the walls of their community. Again, to find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, if you're on Twitter, you can keep up with me, at T. Perkins. Okay. North Korea is talking tough again. The rogue regime is threatening to launch a, quote, super mighty preemptive strike. I mean, their rhetoric, you got to love it. They're threatening to launch this preemptive strike on South Korea and the U.S. Now, with us now is Oklahoma Senator James Lankford. He serves on the Committee of Homeland Security and Government Affairs, as well as the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence. Senator, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Glad to be with you anytime, Tony.
One of your colleagues is actually calling for the U.S. to do, or says that preemptive strikes may be in order against North Korea to keep them from moving forward. How tense of a situation is this that we're now facing with North Korea?
Yeah, this is a dangerous time because we're dealing with an unstable leader. That's the biggest issue that we really face. There's no predictability on how this individual, Kim Jong-un, will actually function and how he makes his decisions. Kim Jong-il was fairly predictable that their country would run out of money again. Their people were starving. And so he would threaten a nuclear strike. The international community would step in and say, if you would stand down, we'll provide some food aid for your country. And then he would stand down, we'd provide food aid, and it would go on from there. That's not true for Kim Jong-un. He's done many times over more nuclear tests and more missile tests, and he's been very clear in his rhetoric that he wants to create an intercontinental ballistic missile that can reach the continental United States, and he's not afraid to be able to attack his southern neighbor in Korea. So this is a very serious issue for a very unstable leader.
Well, the Trump administration is, I mean, there's a new message coming out of the Trump administration based upon what we saw in the last 8 years. They view the past diplomatic efforts of the Obama administration as failures. I mean, we're seeing a very different response from the White House than we saw during the Obama years, are we not?
We are seeing a very different. The time of the Obama administration was really focused in on trying to use diplomacy in a way that was a kind of soft diplomacy or to cajole China to actually engage. China didn't engage. No behavioral change happened with North Korea. And the South Koreans became more and more concerned about the direction of North Korea. So we have to have a different strategy if we're going to have a different outcome. So President Trump's face-to-face meeting with Chinese leadership and their continued engagement to try to help with sanctions and limiting their very unstable southern neighbor, and then our engagement militarily to be able to bring to bear the military might that is necessary. But that doesn't mean that military is imminent. But you can't have a credible diplomatic result until you have a credible military presence.
Yeah, I think that's something that the Obama administration either didn't understand or didn't believe, because that was really never on the table. In fact, they would always take it off the table even before they began negotiations. So it's clearly a new day of foreign policy coming out of Washington, D.C.
Oh, I completely agree. And I have many people I've talked to in Oklahoma said, we don't want to go to war in Syria or in North Korea or any of these places. And I would say, I don't want to either. Neither does the Trump administration. No one wants that. But if you want resolution, you've got to step up to the table and say this needs to be resolved, because the situation is getting worse instead of better. There has to be something to engage to make the situation change.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us on this Thursday afternoon. Situation with North Korea getting more tense, intensifying, I should say, as the North Korean regime suggesting they may take a super mighty preemptive strike against South Korea and even the U.S. Senator Lankford, how might they strike the United States? I mean, currently they don't have the capacity of delivering intercontinental ballistic missile with a warhead from South Korea to the United States, I mean from North Korea. How might they do that?
So there are several ways they could actually reach American citizens and American forces. I was in Korea meeting with South Korean leadership in December, just a few months ago, and there are several things that we are engaging with to be able to help them and to be able to help protect the 25,000 American troops that are in that area, helping provide stability not only in Japan, but also in South Korea. So those forces are obviously clearly within range right now of a North Korean missile attack, whether that be a nuclear attack or be a conventional attack. So to defend against that, we have moved in an anti-missile capacity called THAAD. That's moving into the southern part of the Korean Peninsula. THAAD is designed that if North Korea launches a medium-range missile of any type, that we could actually shoot a missile, and as this often you'll hear people talk about, to shoot a bullet with a bullet. We have the capability to be able to launch a counter missile and to be able to hit that one. What North Korea threatens is not just a single nuclear missile, but thousands of smaller missiles and artillery that they have lined up on their southern border pointing at Seoul. That is a major concern for American business people, for tourists, American citizens of all types that are visiting South Korea and Seoul often, or for our forces that are lined up in many areas of South Korea as well and in Japan. They're clearly within range, as well as some areas like Guam and others that would be more in their medium-range missile capacity.
So clearly, South Korea, Japan concerned about this. China, as you said, they have a role to play in this, or could play a role, mostly economically, with being the biggest trade partner with North Korea. What does China stand to lose if the United States has to militarily interact with North Korea?
So obviously, China doesn't want any engagement on the peninsula at all. They'd like to have a buffer between the democracy of South Korea and between them. And so you've got the southern area of China, North Korea, then after that, South Korea. They like the formula, but they also want a stable North Korea to be there. And their greatest concern is North Korea becomes so unstable, the United States and South Korea reunify the peninsula, and now they've got a functioning democracy on their door, which China does not want. So that is an issue for them to be able to say, if you don't want that, then you need to help resolve the unstable North Korea so that that doesn't become a threat to you in the days ahead. There's also economically, while China doesn't make a lot from North Korea, North Korea benefits a great deal from trade with China. 70% of North Korea's economy is based on trade with China. So it's extremely important that North Korea has that alliance, but it also shows the leverage that China really has. That if they wanted to be able to shut off activities in North Korea, they could certainly do that just with economic activity.
Senator Lankford, I want to switch gears here a little bit with you, come back domestically. Just this was on the Newswire this morning. This week in Iowa, Senator Chuck Grassley, one of your colleagues, who is the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, made the statement that, quote, I would expect a resignation this summer, making reference to the Supreme Court, that we may see another vacancy, therefore giving the president the opportunity to nominate yet another Supreme Court justice. Any insight there?
No, there's been all the rumors flying around Washington, D.C. for a while that there may be other judges that are justices that are considering it, but there's been no formal announcement and nothing but a bunch of rumors. But one of the things the Judiciary Committee has to do, and then quite frankly the White House has responsibility to do, is to always be ready for that transition so that there are names that are possible that are already pre-vetted, and so that transition could happen at any point as well. So it's wise for Chuck Grassley to stay involved, but while there are lots of rumors and things that fly around out there, you never know until someone actually announces and says, I am stepping down. These are lifetime judges, and lifetime does mean lifetime. And we've seen that multiple times with judges, that they stay on for a very long time and make their own choices.
Well, it could be a game changer if you have another vacancy on the court, because though the older justices tend to be on the liberal side of decisions, and if one of those step down, it certainly could shift the balance of the court.
Right, and it would make a dramatic difference whoever that may be at this point. That would step aside. Certainly, if it is one of the more liberal justices already, like a Ruth Bader Ginsburg, that would decide to leave, or you've got some of what is the famous swing vote of Justice Kennedy, if he left, that suddenly that would be a more conservative turn for a court rather than a divided court that it is currently.
Senator, one final question for you. I know that you head back to D.C. next week. Congress is back in session. What should we be looking for next week? Anything big going to be happening?
But, it's another busy week, to say the least, when we come back in. The budget issue will be the prime issue that's sitting out there, and then second to that will be to try to complete anything with the health care debate. So budget has to be complete for the appropriations for this calendar year by April the 28th. So that'll make that another week that you can count on multiple networks having a countdown clock to shut down. Mm-hmm. There's really no one inside the Beltway talking about shutdown. The media will always be obsessed with that. So we do have another deadline coming for next Friday. But then the House is still continuing to be able to work through the process of negotiating a replacement and a repeal for Obamacare, to be able to make sure that we do have that good transition into a better health care system. They will continue to be able to work through that. I've had folks in my own state say, hey, that failed in the House, it's dead. And I've said, oh, it's far from dead. There's still an ongoing conversation to be able to make sure that this is done. The current status quo for where Obamacare is unacceptable. So no matter how hard the work is to be able to find consensus, we have to be able to find consensus to get rid of the status quo.
Yeah, and you're right. It's been that process has been ongoing during the Easter break. Senator James Lankford, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Great to talk with you.
Thank you. Look forward to another conversation in the future. Tony, always grateful.
All right. Senator James Lankford of the Sooner State. To find out more, go to the website, tonyperkins.com. Yes, the repeal of Obamacare is alive and well. I would expect to see something no later than the first part of next week, maybe even sooner. Maybe probably the first part of the week. All right, when we come back, we're going to continue on our discussion of foreign policy. This time, we're going to be talking about Iran. And General Boykin is here to talk about that. Don't go away.
Your mission is to find Granny and get that sauce.
Affirmative.
1 million moms, in association with American Family Studios, introduces Ryan DeFrades' Secret Agent.
I'm Ryan DeFrades. I work alone.
Ryan is arrogant and reckless until the day he's paired with a very unlikely partner.
No way! I can do this alone, without anyone's help, much less my mom's.
Look, Ryan.
She's my mom!
Ryan DeFrades' Secret Agent is the new action-adventure series featuring a young spy with a whole lot to learn.
Mama's coming, sweetie!
She's an agent! Get her, boys!
Each exciting, fun-filled episode teaches children important values, like honoring parents and respecting authority. And there's a brief wrap-up at the end that connects the story to a biblical illustration. Ryan DeFrades' Secret Agent. perfect for children ages 6 and over. Pre-order your copy today at afastore.net.
We've always had an interest. God has given us a gift of being able to help a lot of people with their finances and budgets and stuff.
AFA supporters Bernie and Alice Larson met Dan Celia at a Faith, Family, and Finance town hall meeting.
And he answered some questions, and we were thinking about the charitable gift annuities, and we'd never heard of that before, but we thought, well, we'd always wanted to leave some of our money for God, but we didn't know where or how. And we felt like this was put into our laps as answer to our prayers as to what we could do after we're gone.
Bernie and Alice learned a charitable gift annuity from the AFA Foundation would provide them with a monthly income for life, as well as supporting the American Family Association into the future. You can learn more about charitable gift annuities and other financial products at afafoundation.net or call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
And you just can't outgive God.
Your mission is to find Granny and get that sauce.
Affirmative.
1 million moms, in association with American Family Studios, introduces Ryan DeFrades' Secret Agent.
I'm Ryan DeFrades. I work alone.
Ryan is arrogant and reckless until the day he's paired with a very unlikely partner.
No way! I can do this alone, without anyone's help, much less my mom's.
Look, Ryan.
She's my mom!
Ryan DeFrades' Secret Agent is the new action-adventure series featuring a young spy with a whole lot to learn.
Mama's coming, sweetie!
She's an agent! Get her, boys!
Each exciting, fun-filled episode teaches children important values, like honoring parents and respecting authority. And there's a brief wrap-up at the end that connects the story to a biblical illustration. Ryan DeFrades' Secret Agent. Perfect for children ages 6 and over. Pre-order your copy today at afastore.net.
Welcome to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. All right, Secretary of State Rex Tillerson is slamming the Iran nuclear deal negotiated by former President Barack Obama and other leaders. But so far, he has stopped short of saying the United States should abandon the deal. With us now is our own Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin. He's the Executive Vice President of the Family Research Council and an original member of the Delta Force, serving 36 and a half years in the United States Army. General, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony. Glad to be with you.
All right. What's happening there in Iran? It sounds like things are heating up there as well as in North Korea, a lot of hot spots around the world.
Yeah, well, I thought that Secretary Tillerson's speech yesterday was one of the better diplomatic speeches that I've heard in my lifetime. It was short, to the point, and I think I was certainly impressed with it. I think that he got everybody's attention on what he said. Here's the reality. This was a bad deal to start with. It guaranteed that Iran would get a nuclear weapon in a decade. And our leadership, our political leadership, has great difficulty thinking strategically and, more importantly, acting strategically, because we're here with North Korea because Bill Clinton didn't do what he had to do. And if you listen to the rhetoric of that era with North Korea, it sounds exactly like what's being said about Iran today. If somebody's going to have to deal with this a decade from now. That's a mistake.
So was Secretary of State Tillerson putting the country, the nation of Iran, on notice?
Well, I certainly think that he was. I think that the nation of Iran was put on notice with that first strike in Syria a week or so ago. And I think Tillerson's message yesterday, if the mullahs didn't get the message yesterday, they're too far gone to be helped. I think he was clearly telling Iran that just as Vice President Pence said, the era of strategic patience is over. And I think that's essentially what he was saying to Iran.
He certainly didn't pull any punches, General, when he was describing the country as a terrorist-sponsoring, human rights-violating, destabilizing force with long-term nuclear ambitions akin to those of North Korea. I mean, it sounds like he put them in a pretty clear category of bad guys.
Yeah, he did, Tony. And remember this. Iran has repeatedly violated this agreement. They deny that, but they have violated the agreement repeatedly. Any kind of diplomatic agreement or just a handshake between, you know, two business partners is based on an expectation that both will live up to their side of the agreement. Iran has not done that. In fact, they have continued to flaunt their arrogant nature by harassing our ships out in the Persian Gulf, by continually calling for the destruction of Israel and continually poking their finger in the eye of America, even after they got, $150 billion. In fact, you remember the $450 million that we took in European currency there. So I think that what Tillerson did yesterday was appropriate. I think it was very direct, and if the mullahs didn't get that, then there's no hope.
One of the statements he made that I think was the most poignant was this. He said, quote, "The Trump administration has no intention of passing the buck to a future administration on Iran." Now, interpret that. How should the leadership of Iran interpret that?
Well, what he was saying was just what I was just trying to explain. Was he was saying we're not going to do the same thing with Iran that we did with North Korea. Bill Clinton did not deal with this North Korea thing. He told us everything was going to be all right. He did not want to deal with it. He just wanted to get through his presidency and be able to say that he had cut a deal with the North Koreans on a nuclear program. And Tillerson was saying, we're not going to do that. We're not going to let the next generation have to deal with a nuclear-armed Iran. We're going to deal with it now. And God bless him. I'm glad that he did.
So everything essentially has to be on the table for the Trump administration to deal with this, both diplomatic negotiations, economic, but as well as military.
That's correct. And I think that obviously, for all the reasons that we all understand, the last option would be a military option. But I think that we can reestablish sanctions. Now, it's very clear that our European allies are very unlikely to reestablish sanctions. We may have to go it alone. But America wields a lot of power, a lot of economic power, a lot of diplomatic power, as well as our military power. And even if we have to go it alone, I think that we need to reestablish the sanctions, and we need to start calling them out on every violation and point out to the world that this is a violation of a good faith agreement that they had with not only America, but with other countries on the European continent.
Very quickly, we've got about 30 seconds left. We just had Senator Lankford on talking about North Korea. How significant is the problem in your view with North Korea right now?
Oh, well, I think it's as close as we've come in my lifetime to a war on the Korean Peninsula since the Korean War, but I don't think that's where it will go. I think it will end. It will fade, I guess, over time, and the Chinese will be very critical, but Tony, the ultimate will be the South Koreans. They are going to do all they can, and they're even going to probably march our president to not take any aggressive action, because they will be the ones that will pay the heaviest price.
Yeah. All right. General Jerry Boykin, as always, great to have you on the program. Thanks for coming in today.
Good to be with you.
All right. Okay, coming up next, more young adults are still living at home and not getting married. That, according to new census data. Terry Jeffrey, editor-in-chief of CNS News, joins us for a discussion on that topic when we return. And then still to come, it's Thankful Thursday. That's right. We're going to be taking your phone calls a little bit later here on Washington Watch. Don't go away. We're back with a lot more after this break.
Making the most of your money. Here's Dan Celia.
So I wonder what the Federal Reserve is thinking about the labor market right now. If it's got to be tightening, right? So the job numbers come out this morning, those first-time unemployment claims, and we see the strongest U.S. labor market in 17 years. Yes, the strongest U.S. labor market in 17 years. That is pretty amazing, and a lot of that has to do with confidence. Consumer confidence, those looking for job confidence, those that are collecting unemployment say, hey, I'm coming off unemployment. I'm going to go out and get a job because now I can finally get a job that I can make more than I can on unemployment. So if we continue to see this, if this in fact is a trend, that's called a tightening labor force. The upside to a tightening labor force is that it's good for us. It's good for our wages, and it always leads to higher wages. It is the very argument that I used over the last 8 years saying that it is virtually impossible for us to have these kinds of unemployment rates because if they were true numbers, then labor would be tightening and wages would be going up. Never in a falling unemployment rate, never have we had wages going down, which is exactly what has been happening for the last 15 years. So very interesting. Now we're starting to see some tightening in the labor force. So I would expect this is going to give some fuel to the Fed to continue to raise rates.
Want to hear more financial advice from Dan Celia? Then look for his podcast when you visit the website afr.net.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. All right, a little bit later, we're going to open up the phone lines. It's the third Thursday of the month. It's Thankful Thursday. I'm going to hear about what you're thankful for today. A lot to be thankful for. You know, just coming off this last topic, I'm thankful that we have an administration now that is willing to stand up to these bad actors, wherever they are, that pose a threat to the United States, both directly and indirectly, and to our friends in other places. Remember, I mean, there's two countries that really everybody goes after. It's Israel and the United States. And we finally have leadership to stand up to them. And that's good. I'm thankful for that. The most recent census finds that a majority of adults between 18 to 34 are still living with their parents and are not getting married. Now, there's a number of factors in this. And it's very interesting the way you break this down. It's in the states that have the highest tax rates and the kind of the most restrictive economies. That's where you see more of this. And they happen to be mostly Democratic states, yes. And then when you see states, you know, red states that have lower tax structures, more economic opportunities, you have a smaller percentage of those living in the home with their parents, and they're married and having children, establishing their own homes. Also, there's a factor in this is the issue of student debt. That many of these young people are carrying, and they've got to pay for that before they get married. And there's some significant consequences of this. This is historic. It's the first time it's been happening. And, I mean, you compare this like to the 1970s, and it's quite significant. It's, let's see, as you compare, there are more 18 to 34-year-olds living at home than married. There It's a whopping 22.9 million in this age bracket that have moved back home compared to 19.9 million who are married and living with their spouse. Now, that's a huge drop-off from the mid-70s when 31.9 million Americans tied the knot and started homes of their own. And while people are still getting married, it's much later in life. Almost, it's about the age 45 for 8 in 10 people in that category. Age 45, 8 to 10, before they say, I do. The challenge with that is actually having children, which our economy depends on, because that's the human capital. And that's one of the things we looked at, Family Research Council Marriage and Religion Research Institute, which we've now spun off. But when they were under our roof, one of the things we looked at was the impact of human capital on growing the GDP. I mean, if you want to grow an economy, you don't grow it by constricting the expansion of the family. You actually grow the economy by expanding the family. And contrary to what many believe, married families with children do not consume resources. They produce resources. They produce the most capital per capita than non-married or non-childbearing families. And so the idea that, well, you know, if you don't have as many kids, you're actually able to do more for the economy. Not so. Families with kids produce more capital. They save more, putting more money into savings, which creates the opportunity for capital for others to grow the economy. So what's problematic with this, and we're waiting to get Terry Jeffrey on. He wrote a great piece on this on CNS News, but I can summarize it for you. It basically goes like this, is that government policies, student debt, are causing young people to delay marriage. And not all of it. I mean, it's a major factor. And as a result of that, they're putting off family formation until much later in life, to the point where some may be beyond childbearing years, certainly limiting the number of years in which they could have children, which reduces the size of the family, which keeps us from having a population, a reproductive rate that keeps our population at a sustainable rate. People say, well, we're overpopulated anyway. Not so. I mean, what we have is a kind of an inverted pyramid where we're now going to have more people moving into retirement, being supported by fewer and fewer workers. Children are a good thing. The scripture talks about that. Marriage is a good thing. All of those things are good when they're done God's way. And it's irreplaceable to the well-being, to a well-balanced society and a healthy, growing society. All right. We didn't get Terry, but I told you what he said in his piece. If you want to find it and read it for yourself, go to TonyPerkins.com, follow the links over. When we come back, we're going to go to the phone lines. It's Thankful Thursday here at Washington Watch. I want to know what you're thankful for. When we come back, 866-372-7234. I'll be taking your phone calls here on Washington Watch.
America's primed for change. In Washington, a new administration is in place, and opportunity is the new buzzword in the nation's capital. The question is, what will we do with the moment that's before us? What changes can conservatives make to undo the past 8 years? Join us at the 2017 Values Voter Summit on October 13th through 15th in Washington, D.C., where you'll be informed and mobilized to protect religious liberty, champion life, strengthen national security, and limit the size of government. This action-packed conference is one you won't want to miss. Past speakers at the event include President Donald Trump, Vice President Mike Pence, Senators Ted Cruz and Tim Scott, Speaker Paul Ryan, Michelle Bachmann, Laura Ingraham, Kirk Cameron, Sean Hannity, Phil Robertson, and many more. Mark your calendar for October 13th through 15th and join us in Washington. Register now at the early bird rate of $99. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information. That's valuesvotersummit.org.
Consider serving with Friendships. It's an all-volunteer ministry providing aid to disaster victims, refugees, and the impoverished here at home and around the world. We're now taking applications. If you're available to serve without pay, you can be part of the crew reaching out to help people in need. Check it out at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022.
Join Norman Geisler, Richard Land, Michael Brown, Frank Turek, and others for Southern Evangelical Seminary's National Conference on Christian Apologetics. It's October 13th and 14th in Charlotte, North Carolina. Enjoy informative talks, a live debate, and a dialogue with Ken Ham from Answers in Genesis. Plus, there's the premiere of the American Family Association documentary, The God Who Speaks. Register by May 1st and receive a special gift. Visit ses.edu for details.
This is Barry McGuire. I'm a car guy, and I love to lead people to Jesus Christ as a layman outside the walls of the church. Are you struggling with something, can't get past your own pain, wondering where God is right now and why he's not answering your prayers? Well, 1 Thessalonians tells us, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of Christ Jesus concerning you. Not that you're thankful for difficult circumstances, of course, but that your thankfulness has nothing to do with your circumstances. No matter what you're going through, your joy comes from knowing nothing can separate you from the love of God. Neither death or life, angels or demons, fears for today or worries for tomorrow. Knowing this one thing, that he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. And there's nothing more compelling than the sharing of this confidence in the midst of your pain. Your job is to ignite revival outside the walls of the church by moving every person you're with today and every day closer to Jesus. And if you want to know how to do that, go to ROTW.com.
This is Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. 866-372-7234. The website, TonyPerkins.com, and again, I remind you that this program is made possible because of folks like you across the country who are partnering with the Family Research Council. We receive no government money. We are totally supported by folks like you who care about America, care about faith, family, and freedom, and want to be informed, and not only informed, but engaged. So if you want to partner with the Family Research Council to ensure that Washington Watch continues to stay on the air, well, go to TonyPerkins.com. All right, it's the third Thursday of the month, and it's Thankful Thursday. And there's a lot to be thankful for. You know, the Scripture is very clear about this. Old Testament, New Testament, that we're to be thankful. In fact, it's one of the places in the New Testament where Paul repeatedly says, he only says it a few times. In fact, if you look at the New Testament where it says, this is the will of God for you. One of those is that we're to be thankful. And it just changes your whole outlook on life when you have a heart of gratitude. And so there's so much to be thankful for. There's so many challenges that are out there. I get it. You know, we're talking about them. I mean, North Korea, as General Boykin said earlier, he's never seen it at a higher risk level, threat level in his entire life. That's significant. We see what's happening in the Middle East with Syria, Iran. You can just go down the list. And of course, domestically, we've got issues. But I'm thankful we got some leadership that's finally willing to stand up. That's one thing to be thankful for. I'm thankful, I'm thankful for my wife, my children. I'm blessed with five wonderful children, a godly wife of 31 years. And I'm thankful I get to sit behind this microphone once a day and talk with folks all across America who share our values and care about America and want to make a difference and are making a difference, as evidenced by November's election. I'm thankful. So what are you thankful for? 866-372-7234. Let's go to Joel in Texas.
Hey, Tony. Thanks for taking my call. Great show. Tony, I woke up this morning thankful for another day, and I thought, you know, Hillary Clinton is not president, and instead of entertaining leaders from England, from China, and from Italy, we might be entertaining leaders from Venezuela, North Korea, and Iraq, and Iran. So that gave me a lot to be thankful for, that Hillary is not president. Even though we're struggling, things could be a lot worse, and things are going to get a lot better.
Yeah, Joel, I could not agree more. I mean, just knowing she's not in the White House, moving this nation further down a path of implosion, self-directed implosion, is reason to be thankful. And the fact that we have a fighting chance to turn America around. Now, I've said this multiple times in many speeches, I know I've said it, is that the election didn't solve anything, but it gave us the opportunity to solve it. It gave us a chance to restore America. Now, the president says, you know, he wants to make America great again. And I think that's a slogan that really caught on with folks. And I agree. But I think most of you listening would understand that the source of greatness, if we want to be politically great, if we want to be economically great, we've got to be morally good again. And that's going to take some work. And not all of it can be done by government. In fact, most of it cannot be. It's got to be done by folks like you around this country, willing to live out their faith, share the gospel of Jesus Christ, see the hearts and lives of people transformed by the truth. And it requires people not afraid to speak that truth. Now, there are policy implications. That's why we're working to get the president to issue an executive order on religious liberty, allowing people to live out their faith, not just in the within the four walls of the church, but everywhere, like the founders envisioned, and for years allowed. 866-372-7234. Let's go to Tennessee, where Shirley is on the line. Shirley, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you for taking my call. Right on, Joel. Thank God Hillary is not president. And I want to thank the Lord for his mercy and his grace. We know that the whole world could fade. The earth could be removed. But Christ will always be steadfast, unmovable. And we have somebody we can depend on when all else is shaken in life. And so I'm thankful for Life, Health, Strength, for AFR, for your show. And thank Jesus for the hope that someday all of us callers are going to meet in heaven and forever be with the Lord.
All right. Amen, Shirley. Thank you. Almost makes me want to take up the offering there. That absolutely true. And that's one reason we can always be thankful, as Shirley pointed out, because we're tethered to transcendent truth, unchanging truth. Times might change. The administrations will change. The culture will change. You know, we know, we've been told that there are those who are going to call good evil and evil good. So, you know, the standard by which society uses is going to change. But the truth of God doesn't change. And Christ doesn't change. God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what peace and joy can come even in the midst of the storm when you're tethered to something that is unchanging. Shirley's absolutely right. Let's go to Texas, where Carol is on the line. Carol, welcome to Thankful Thursday.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I am doing well.
By the way, this is the originator of Thankful Thursday, Carol from Texas.
Oh, you know, there's so much to be thankful for. Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday, was amazing. And there, I also will repeat what your callers have said, that I'm thankful that I'm thankful Obama is out of office and Hillary is not in office. But you know, Tony, one of the things that I'm really, really grateful for, and you know how passionately I feel about the people that work with you and support you, but I'm also thankful that God has given me the resources and the opportunity to be a small part of your ministry by supporting you. And I know that people think, well, I can't give a lot of money, but every single amount that you give, it helps. And if you've got, if God has blessed you with some money, if God has blessed you in your job, consider, you know, just partnering with FRC, because I consider it, to me, it's a blessing that I can do it.
Well, we're grateful for your support and your prayers and your encouraging notes. And you're absolutely right. When we all kind of get together and stand together, both morally with our convictions, but stand together in prayer and financial support, it goes a long, long way. So, Carol, grateful for you and thankful for folks like you across this country who are standing with us. All right, let's go back to Tennessee, where Bill is on the line. Bill, welcome to Washington Watch.
Yes, sir. I've got so much to be thankful for. I mean, it's just, I could sit and talk all night with you about it. First, I want to say I'm thankful for the blood of Christ that allows us to be drawn back to God, to reconcile us and to be who we are. But today, most especially, I'm thankful for 32 years of marriage. If today's my wedding anniversary, married to the best little old lady in Tennessee, and it just, she put up with a whole lot with me while I learned to be a man and be a good Christian man. And it's, we're now serving in a little church that we actually helped start, and we're leading a marriage ministry out there now. And through the troubles that God's brought us through, that and where we've learned, we're actually doing the best that we can do to help younger couples out before they get into the quagmires that we got into.
So, Bill, today's your anniversary?
Yes, sir.
Oh, well, congratulations. 32 years. Well, you need to get off the radio and take your wife out to dinner.
Well, I just punched out of work about an hour early. I'm about 15 miles from the house, and I'm headed home to take her out to an early dinner.
Let me stop and pick her up some flowers.
Oh, yes. Yes, sir. Okay. That's on the agenda.
Okay, good, good. All right, well, congratulations, Bill, and thank you for giving back to other young couples and helping them avoid the pitfalls. And it's helpful. And, you know, that's actually, and I for those of you who listen, that's kind of how I got started in public policy, authoring the nation's first covenant marriage law. So I've done a lot of work. Most of my public policy that I wrote pertained to marriage and family. And I've done a lot of study, worked with a lot of different ministries. And that's one of the most impactful ways of strengthening marriages is mentoring couples, is having couples who have actually been down the path, you know, made the mistakes, or, you know, just had the challenges, to be able to come alongside these younger couples and help them navigate the journey of marriage. It's very, very helpful. So, Bill, thank you for doing that. All right, we're going to work in a couple more calls here. Let's go back to the Lone Star State where Joe is on the line. Joe, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you so much, Tony. Really appreciate you guys. Wanted to say I'm thankful for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thankful for AFR and the encouragement to be salt and light as Christians. And speaking of, thankful that here in Texas we have a movement, well, it's nationwide, to abolish abortion, to change the conversation, to start thinking in terms of how do we end this thing. And of course, we can't, but God can. We have a bill called HB 948 that has about 11 sponsors at this time, to literally call abortion what it is, murder, and to abolish it in our state. So thank you for letting me mention that.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Joe. I mean, look, we have seen in the last 10 years, a seismic shift at the state level where we now have, thinking off the top of my head, I think it's 23, somewhere in the neighborhood between 22 and 24 states that have what's called a trifecta. You've got the Republican controlled House, Senate, and governor's office. And these states, not all of them, but a vast majority of them actually have conservatives, and they are moving through pro-life bills. We've seen more pro-life bills move through the state in the last 10 years than any time since Roe v. Wade. And that's because folks like you have gotten involved. Some of you have run for office. I know that because you've told us. But you're influencing the process. So thank you. Thank you. I'm thankful for you. All right, let's go to Indiana where Slowrent, is that right? Slowrent? Indiana.
Yes.
Yes, go right ahead.
I'm glad to get through to you, Tony. The man married was 35 years. My husband and I was married like 2 months of being 70 years when he passed away.
Wow.
And I try to encourage young people getting married. Don't, you know, if you have a disagreement, sit down and talk it out. But what I'm thankful for, Tony, is that we've got a president, God help us get him in office. We need to stand behind him, but he's the first politician I think of that I know of that on his campaign, he did what he said he's going to do.
Well, you're right, and he is systematically doing that, and I think we need to pray for him. He's not going to be 100% correct all the time. I mean, he's not going to be right all the time, 100% of the time, but look, he's doing the right thing. I think he's gotten a lot done, and we need to pray for him and pray for the vice president as well. All right, very quickly, 30 seconds, we're going to Missouri, where Robin has been patiently holding on the line. Robin, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, thank you. Well, like everyone else, I'm really thankful for you guys and what you're doing and for others like you who are bringing the truth and what's really going on in our country. They're bringing it to us because I don't trust the media anymore. So I depend on you guys. And I'm also thankful for, you know, God still hears us and he still talks to us if we'll just listen. He's proven that to me lately. And so I just want to throw that in, you know, just if we'll all listen and we'll all keep standing. I'm thankful for the leaders who are in the pulpits who are standing strong and they're standing for God and they're not being weak in his word. So I'm just really thankful for all of you for standing up for us and for God's word.
Well, thank you, Robin. Appreciate that. And let us not forget, and this is one of the reasons God tells us that we should be grateful and thankful because, number one, he saved us. We just celebrated Resurrection Sunday. He has saved us through the redemptive work of his Son, Jesus Christ, reconciling us to himself as Jesus took on the penalty of sin and paid the price that we could never pay. For that, we should always be grateful. But as Robin pointed out, we have a God who hears us and responds to us and answers our prayers. And I believe God has given us a reprieve as a nation. And we must seize this opportunity and do our part. Thank you for doing your part. Let's keep standing, as the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you've taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.